A middle-aged man went to the doctor for his annual checkup. His wife went along also. After the man's physical, the doctor called the wife into the office alone. The doctor told her, "Your husband seems to have a very high stress level, and it isn't good for his heart. If you don't do the following, your husband will surely die." The doctor then handed her a list of things that she should do. "Every morning, fix him a fresh, healthy breakfast. Be kind to him all day. And do everything to keep his stress level to a minimum. For lunch and dinner, prepare whatever meal he might desire. Keep the house as peaceful as possible and allow him to rest as much as he wants. Don't allow him to do any chores or anything that might cause him undue stress." On the way out of the doctor's office, the husband asked his wife what the doctor said. She replied, "Honey, I'm afraid you're going to die." Well, in today's gospel, the Lord reminds us that we're all going to die. Whether we be rich or poor, we will all come before the judgment seat of God. And this is a very interesting parable. Now, what caused the parable was a young man that approached Jesus to settle a family dispute about money. This, most likely the younger brother, came to the Lord and said, "Tell my other older brother to share the inheritance with me." In those days, the eldest son would get the inheritance. And obviously, this younger son wanted some of it. And so he figured he saw this preacher, Jesus of Nazareth, and he wanted him to settle the dispute on this inheritance case. The Lord doesn't answer what should be done about the inheritance case, but he does use it as a teaching opportunity to warn everyone about the dangers of avarice and greed. And that's what the parable is about. A parable is a story that the Lord gives us that we can reflect upon and meditate upon. The Lord used stories all the time because they made people think and apply these principles to their life. So the Lord tells this parable. This one is called the Parable of the Rich Fool. What's interesting, it's a very short parable, and yet it contains some very interesting details. The first detail I think is interesting is it says that this fellow was already rich, but then he had an amazing harvest. His land produced a bountiful harvest. So he was a rich man who became richer. And let's say he was a millionaire, now he's a multimillionaire. I remember the great golfer who had such a wonderful sense of humor, Chichi Rodriguez. He once said, "I attribute becoming a millionaire to marrying my wife. Before I met her, I was a multimillionaire." Now, this was just the opposite. This fellow was rich and he became richer. And notice what he does. It says he says to himself, "Well, I can't even store all of the grain and all the corn and all these things in my current barns. I'm going to tear down these barns and build larger barns. And that way I'll have enough." And notice what he doesn't do. He doesn't seem to thank God. He doesn't seem to pray. He doesn't seem to ask God what he should do with his extra blessings. He doesn't, let's say, think of the poor or the needy or how the temple might need something refurbished in the temple of Jerusalem. He keeps it all for himself. He's totally self-centered. That's why the Lord will call him a fool, because he is concerned only about his own welfare, his own pleasure, his own security. Plus, he thinks he's invincible. He says, "Now I'll have many years and I can just enjoy my life." And basically says, "I'm going to rest, eat, drink, and be merry." That was the pagan philosophy. That's what the pagans did. The Romans did that. They felt life was just for pleasure. Eat, drink, and be merry. That was their philosophy. So this fellow thought he could just party all the time and then live like a pagan. And notice, when he speaks, he doesn't, again, ask God for help or wisdom or guidance. He is only concerned about himself. Within two sentences, he uses the word "I" or "my" 12 times. In fact, he says, I know what I shall do. I'll build larger barns, and then I'll say to myself, eat, drink, and be merry. Notice the word I. I guess in the Latin it's called ego, E-G-O. And you hear that word today. And somebody once said that an ego stands for edging God out. I thought that was interesting. Because isn't that what we do? If we are always focused on ourselves, we make ourselves the very center and we edge God out where He should be at the center of our lives. And so what does God say to this man? He says, you're a fool because tonight you will die. This night your life will be required of you. And where will all those stored up goods and grains and money go? You'll have to leave them behind and pass them on to somebody else. Because you've grown rich in material things, but Jesus says, you're not rich in what matters to God. There's an ancient saying that there are no pockets in a shroud. And I think a good modern way to look at that is say there's no U-Hauls on the back of hearses. If you ever be in a funeral procession, I've never seen a U-Haul on the back of a hearse. It just, because you can't take it with you. So if we can't take our material things with us, how do we become rich in what matters to God? Well, riches, what matters to God is holiness, becoming the saint that God wants us to be, to continue to go to Mass, to receive the sacraments, to grow in grace, to grow in virtue, to grow in faith, hope, and love, to grow in our prayer life. See, this is what matters to God. And that's how we become a spiritual millionaire. A spiritual millionaire is a saint, somebody that is rich in graces, rich in holiness, rich in virtue, rich in love, and rich in almsgiving and mercy to the poor. So, this is a very powerful story. I knew a Jesuit priest, Father John Hardin, a very holy Jesuit who's up for beatification now. And he told the story once where he was called to the deathbed of a Chicago multimillionaire. Apparently he had been Catholic early in his life and had lived a life totally focused on material things. But now he was dying and he was scared to death. And so he called a priest and Father went to see him. And he couldn't believe it when he walked into his bedroom. This fellow was on his deathbed and he had stacks of $100 bills all around him. Probably $50,000 in bed with him, like in his pillowcase. But he was miserable. He was unhappy. He had focused his life on money. He was so greedy and avarice, but he wasn't at peace. But thanks be to God, Father was there to help him and to administer the holy sacraments and the last rites. Compare that with another story. St. Catherine Drexel, you may have heard of her. As a young girl, she inherited $15 million from her parents. Her father was a very wealthy owner of railroad cars and trains and also a banker. And he left his entire inheritance to her. She was only a teenager. Now, $15 million in the 1920s is the equivalent of $700 million today. Imagine if you're a 15-year-old teenager and you've just inherited $700 million. Imagine that. So she prayed and asked God what God wanted her to do with this. And so God revealed to her that she should become a nun. And so she went to meet the Pope in Rome. And, she offered to give this money to the poor. And the Pope said, yes, we can distribute the money to the poor. But he said, don't just give your money, give yourself. The Lord wants you to give yourself as well. So she became a nun. And over the next, 40, 50 years, she gave away all her millions of dollars to the missions to help the African Americans and the Native American Indians all over the United States. Is setting up convents and orphanages, establishing schools and Xavier University in New Orleans. And she spent her whole life in a beautiful gift of herself and of her money to the Lord. Now, of course, you're not a monk, you're not a nun. And so what should be our attitude towards money? Well, money, of course, is good. It's necessary. We need it to, you know, to feed our families and house our homes and for food, clothing, and shelter. And of course, it's important to be good stewards of your finances. That's an important thing. To use our finances well, to save and invest and have life insurance. And all these things are very good and very good ways of being a steward. But the Lord reminds us, don't give in to greed or avarice. Make sure you have the proper attitude towards money. It is a gift. It's something that we should use to help others. And so the Bible always recommends tithing, to always give God 10%, to give that to the poor. Some people give their 10%, 5% to their parish, 5% to charities of their choice. It's up to you. You don't have to do it, but the Bible certainly recommends it and encourages it. And it's a beautiful way of life, and it will help us to make sure, as we're always being generous to the poor and to the needy, that we won't be possessed by our possessions, but that we'll use our possessions to help others and to help spread the kingdom of God on earth. So that should be our attitude. We should be good stewards of God's creation, but also, in addition, while we do that, to help others. And Jesus says in today's reading, don't just store up treasures on earth because you can't take it with you. Make sure you become rich in what matters to God, which is to become the saint that God wants you to be.